All right, everybody. Well, tonight we're starting a new series called Witness, Sharing God's Love with Others. And we're excited because this is a premier part of our relationship with God is sharing your faith with others. And we're going to talk about what that means tonight, and we're going to do some cool things later on during this series. So tonight's the first night. We're just going to kind of talk about it. And then during small groups, talk some more. And then later this month, maybe have some opportunities even to share your faith and share love with others. So tonight we're talking about a testimony. Testimony. I don't like the word testimony because when I was a kid and I grew up in church, everyone was like, Roy, you need to learn your testimony. And I was like, my testimony? You need to learn your testimony. And I was like, okay. And so I remember being like 11, 12, and it's like, you got to get your testimony. And I was like, what is going on? But basically, what they wanted me to do is learn to, like, explain what God had done in my life by the age of 12, you know. But really, like, I had no clue what was going on. I was like, I thought about video games and really, like, I stole something once, but it really wasn't a big journey or anything by there. So I didn't know what they wanted from me. But I still remember, you got to get your testimony. And then into high school and into college, it was just always like, share your testimony. And it just meant something like that it doesn't mean to me. It meant like it had this feeling like your testimony is your life story, and it's just your opportunity to tell everyone how bad you were. And it's going to be really, really fun, and everyone's got to do it. And it was the worst. It was the worst because I didn't have a lot of bad stuff I did. So I had to do that one line. If you've ever been around these Christian circles, they're always like, I grew up in a Christian home, and I didn't know God for real, but then I knew God for real. Testimony. Yeah, I was there, guys. I did it. And so growing up, this testimony thing was a big thing. At our church, I don't know if my church was good or not, but it was just that's what we did at our church. I do thank God that I grew up in church and I don't have a bunch of bad things that I did because I saved myself from a lot of troubling times. But I will say this. Your testimony, when we say the word testimony, it isn't like your life story or all these bad things that you were into once, or like this kind of feeling like, I don't know, this pre-written script of your life that you need to share. Tonight we're talking about testimony, but instead of calling it a testimony, we're going to call it God's story about your life. God's story about your life. God made you. God made me with plans for your life. And we mess those plans up all the time, but luckily God's got more plans on plans, and it's going to be okay. And so that's great, but the story that comes out of that is different for every person. And so you have a story with God, and I have a story with God, and sharing that story or exploring what that means is really where I want to land tonight. We're talking about God's story about your life. So we're going to split this into two sections. The first section is the testimony and you. And the second section is the testimony and others. But really, I want to explore what does it mean to actually get and understand what is God's story for you. The first thing you want to do when developing God's story for your life is identify a God moment in your life. Identify a God moment in your life. Each of us have had different experiences with God. Some of you today maybe have never had an experience with God. Others of you maybe you've had dozens of that you can point to and say, wow, that was a moment that like God was real for me. Like this was a moment. Maybe it was something like really practical, like this random person contacted me with the certain thing I needed or the certain words I needed for that day, and I recognize that as God. Or maybe it's super supernatural or spiritual, like I came up to the front of the church and I was praying and I knew that I was not alone and God had my back. I just knew it. Like, these are God moments that we experience. And there we have, I think it happens a lot. Sometimes we don't notice it. But building your testimony or your story on these moments will help you actually share your faith or share God, what God has done in your life in a better way, or in any way at all. So it's important to identify these because it's important for your growth as a human being, as a Christ follower. Before we talk about sharing our faith, listen, if you're uneasy because I'm talking about sharing, the word sharing a lot, we're not going to, like, you don't have to come up stage and, like, tell everyone your sins, all your deepest and darkest secrets. Like, that is not what we're doing. We're just talking about how God has done something great in people's lives. And you don't have to share anything if you don't want to. But when you understand that God is doing something in your life, you can then build a story out of that. Or you can then build, like, how you want to explain or tell people how awesome God is. Back in the day, like, when Jesus was on the earth walking with us, like, in flesh, he'd, like, heal a guy who'd been sick for his whole life, right? And people would freak out. So it was a pretty cool moment that God did, and then everyone would just freak out, and they would just tell everyone, like, oh, my goodness, did you see this? Did you see what happened? This is crazy. This guy's doing this stuff all the time, right? And so, like, that's kind of them sharing that story. But nowadays, we don't really live like that anymore. We don't see those kind of outspoken miracles every day. And we don't get to, like, kind of get excited about everything. In fact, if I told you that I used to only have one leg and I'm here today to tell you I have two, you'd be like, okay, you're weird. And I don't believe you. Like, go away, right? Show me the video. Show me it in real life. I don't know. I don't know what you would say. I think you would just write me off. Anyway, that was not in my notes. Okay, so here's the deal. We need to identify these God moments in our life and call them what they are. Because things happen to us all the time, and sometimes it's God, and sometimes God's doing something in our life. But we don't identify it as God. And other times God does stuff in your life, and we do identify it as God, but we have to identify it. We have to, like, start to think through God in our life in a real way. I think we just don't do this with most things in our life, so it makes sense that we don't do it with God. But if something happens to you, you have to identify what is it that's going on. Like, what is this thing? Doubt is a big deal for us. Anything in our life that makes us question what we believe or what we know, we ignore, which is not helpful. Doubt goes along with faith. Show me how much you've doubted, and I'll show you how much you've grown. Your relationship with God and its growth is directly proportional to the questions you ask about him. So questioning about what happened in your life, questioning, having real questions about God, is how you grow in your faith. If you have never asked the question, you know, why do kids get cancer and die? Like, what kind of God is that, like, kids will get cancer and die? And so if you're new to faith, you have to answer that question. Why is that? What's going on here? And I think what we would say as a church is that, like, that doesn't sound like a God that's in control at all, because he's not. That Satan's in control of this earth. And that's why we see kids die. And so you have to process through that and figure out, okay, what is this doubt I have, and how do I actually wrestle with it? This is a big deal when it comes to your moments with God, because otherwise you just write them off like you write everything else off in life, because it's way easier to just watch Netflix than think about your life. So, my Nana is my grandma, my Italian grandma, Nana. She'd get mad at us if we didn't call her Nana. If I call her grandma, she'd be like, it's Nana. Nana, she was a character, man, in my life. And one of the things that she, this is ridiculous. One of the things that she would always say to me is, I would be talking about something. I don't know how this first came up, But I would be like, Nana, have you ever, like, do you believe in aliens, Nana? Nana would be like, when I was younger, I saw a UFO hovering above the 7-Eleven down the street. I was like, what? And she's like, yep, I saw it. I saw it. And so she'd always talked about this UFO moment that she had. It was a clear moment in her life. You guys think Nana's crazy. It's okay. It's a clear moment. But if I was Nana, I would want to know more about this moment. I wouldn't just say, yeah, that happened once. I would want to know, like, okay, was it a balloon? Was it like the, are they, like, what was it? Tell me more information. Is there other people to corroborate your story? Like, what's going on? Did you call the police? She's like, I called the police. Like, okay, well, tell me something more about this moment. I mean, it's just a story she says all the time. I saw a UFO once above 7-Eleven. Like, okay, Nana. But like, our relationship with God sometimes turns out this way. It's just one thing that God did that one time, and it was cool. And that was it. But if we just let our moments with God become these little stories and don't actually incorporate them and like own them, figure out the problems with those stories, explore them, and share them, that those stories go to waste. And so we're going to talk about telling these stories. But first, let's explain. One, we need to identify a God moment in our life. And the second thing we need to do is start to explain this God moment. What is it? What actually happened? What actually happened to me? You know, my sister's testimony. My sister's testimony is all about one of my grandparents and about how she was really anxious and nervous about her grandparent when she got into the hospital, and God like met her where she was at. She felt like everything was going to be okay. She prayed and stood by her grandma, and then her grandma got out of the hospital. And this is my sister's. Someone would ask my sister Laura, hey, what's your story? What's your God story? That's what she would say, which is really cool and better than mine. But she did a good job identifying this moment that God touched her life and then explaining it to other people. So we're going to identify a moment that God did something, and then we're going to start to write the story about what happened. I don't mean like a fake story. I mean like a real story, but actually like write it out or explore it so that you know exactly who the champion of that story is. If Jesus is the hero of your story, you're doing good. If you're the hero of your story, you're probably not doing good. Like, you need to write the story so that Jesus is the hero. A lot of times what happens is that it's real life stuff. Like, you were praying, and you came to the front, God touched your life, and then Joshua was there, Pastor Joshua, and you went to Joshua, and you were like, Joshua, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me? He's like, yes. You meet with Joshua. Joshua walks you through something, tells you some key pointers, and like, it totally changes your life. Okay, Jesus just changed your life. Joshua is not the hero of that story. Jesus is, right? But one of the ways we can tell our stories sometimes, we get confused because we start saying it that way. But if someone doesn't understand, they're going to think Joshua is Jesus, but Joshua is not, right? Joshua serves Jesus. And so we have to write our story so that Jesus is the hero. We're not the hero. Our sin isn't the hero. There was this one intern we had once at the church, and he was in a small group with the youth group, and it was like me and him and some young guys, like junior high guys. And I was like, bro, tell us about what God's done in your life. And I didn't use the word testimony, but he went into the whole testimony thing. He was like, starts to like list off all the sins and the bad stuff he's ever done in his life. And he was so excited about these sins. He really was. Like, he was more excited about all the stuff that he used to do than about God at all. The sins were the hero. The sins were the hero of the story. It was clear on his face. He wasn't even like excited about the Jesus parts. He was just excited about the bad parts. He was like, bro, I was like legit bad. Like, okay, we got it. Let's go. Let's move on. Your sin isn't the hero of your story. God is. And so it's important that when we write our story, that God is the hero. it's super important. So when you identify God's story in your life, it really helps you out personally. It really is helpful to you. But it also helps others. And we're going to read from the Bible, Acts chapter 22. If you have your YouVersion Bible app or you have your Bibles with you, turn to Acts chapter 22. We're going to read a portion of it. Let me give you a context. Paul, this guy in the Bible, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he was traveling to Jerusalem. And he was traveling to Jerusalem, but his mission is to the Gentiles, the people that are not in Jerusalem. And he said some things while in Asia that the people in Jerusalem are a little upset about, because he was talking about the law and the law of Moses. If you ever read your Bible, the first five books of the Bible are the law, and it's full of like civil laws and strange laws about what to eat and what not to eat. Something that would equate today to like a speed limit, like don't go over 25 on Washington Street. Like that's the kind of laws that are in the Bible. They're civil. And so Paul was kind of telling the Gentiles, hey, like those aren't matter to you anymore. Like these few laws, these are the ones that are important. Like these are the ones you need to focus on. And the Jews who like knew the law were upset with Paul. So Paul goes to Jerusalem, even though all these people tell him not to. And when he gets there, the people at the church, they're like, hey, Paul, you know what you should do? You should go do a ceremony at the temple, and then everyone will think you're legit. So Paul's like, okay. And so he goes to the temple. They do the ceremony. And someone from Asia sees him and starts to make this big ruckus and creates a mob. This is all in the previous chapter, and gets everyone riled up against Paul. So everyone's mad at Paul because they think that Paul's a heathen or something. They're mad at him, and they kick him out of the temple, and the Roman guard, like, cuff him, kind of, and bring him to the fortress. He's on the steps of the fortress. He's going up into it, and he turns around. He asks the guards, hey, can I talk to everyone? The guards say yes. So then he turns around and the crowd gets quiet. And this is what he says. Acts chapter 22. It says, Paul saying, brothers and esteemed fathers, Paul said, listen to me as I offer my defense. When they heard him speaking in their own language, the silence was even greater. Then Paul said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in the city of Cilicia. And I was brought up and educated here in Jerusalem under Gamaliel. As a student, I was carefully trained in our Jewish laws and customs. I became very zealous to honor God in everything I did, just like all of you today. And I persecuted many followers of the way. The way is what they called Christians. The way. He hounded some to death, arresting both men and women and throwing them in prison. Paul's telling all the people this. He's saying, the high priest and the whole council of elders can testify to this. For I received letters from them to our Jewish brothers in Damascus, authorizing me to bring the followers of the way from there to Jerusalem in chains to be punished. So Paul is telling his story, okay? Paul is, in this story, by now, Paul is Saul. So Saul was his name until he became a Christ follower. So he's kind of, when he was Saul, he was really mean to all the Christians. He hunted them down. That was his job. He was intense. And so this is the story. He's telling everyone the story of what happened to him. So he's coming back from, he's telling everyone the story. I was on the road approaching Damascus about noon. A very bright light from heaven suddenly shone all around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus the Nazarene, the one you are persecuting. The people with me saw the light, but didn't understand the voice speaking to me. And I asked, what should I do, Lord? And the Lord told me, get up and go into Damascus, and there you will be told everything you are to do. I was blinded by the intense light, and I had to be led by the hand to Damascus by my companions. A man named Ananias lived there. He was a godly man, deeply devoted to the law, and well regarded by all the Jews of Damascus. He came and stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, regain your sight. And that very moment, I could see him. In that very moment, I could see him. So it keeps going on to share. But this is an important moment because Paul is sharing his story, his God story. The biggest thing that happened to Paul in his life, the most personal, the most God tangible thing, was this moment. This moment where Saul did a 180 with his life because he was going to kill Christians. God, Jesus stopped him with a blinding light. He was blind for days, I think, yeah. And he gets healed. Like, all of this stuff happens, right? So this God moment happens, and he builds this story around it to share with everyone, hey, like, God has done something in my life. Not only is he sharing with everyone what God did, but he's also connecting with everyone in the audience. He name drops people. He talks about, he's speaking in Aramaic, which is their language. He brings himself down to everyone's level and say, hey, no, I lived in Jerusalem. I know all this stuff. These are the people I know. Like this, and he makes his story legit. So his story, he's the like perfect person to tell this story because he's the one that connects the dots for some of these people. What's really cool about this story is not only is Paul telling his testimony, but this whole thing is a testimony to the guards. What ends up happening is that the guards, they try to hurt Paul, and Paul tells them, I'm a Roman citizen, and then they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. And all of this stuff, all of his past, Paul's past, the stuff that was, like, really bad, the stuff that made him not so awesome, ends up, like, saving his life because he tells this story, which is really cool. And so I want to share that with you today because I want to, just like in the Bible, people are sharing the stories that God had done in their life. We need to do that too. We need to share our story. Now, you're not going to be bound up being led to a fortress on the steps and have to like yell at an angry mob your story. You don't have to do that, which is great. But you do have to actually tell people around you the things that God is doing in your life. Not only is your testimony good for you, but your story that God is doing in your life is awesome for others. The first thing that happens in your life when you share what God is doing in your life is it connects you to other people. Because if you do this right, you're not actually sharing with people all the things that is wrong with someone else. You're sharing with them something that's wrong with you, right? You're going to say, hey, in my life, this is something that I used to struggle with. And in that moment, when you share, like, hey, I was struggling in my marriage, and I prayed at the altar, I connected with a few people from the church, and I really got some stuff that got me going, and it really helped my marriage, right? Let's say that's your God story. Like, the reason, there's a vulnerable piece of that, and the vulnerable piece is saying, hey, my marriage was bad, and now it's better. But that marriage is bad part is vulnerable. So what happens when you share your story with other people is that you immediately connect with them. You connect with them in a different level. You use vulnerability. Vulnerability works like this. You are vulnerable with someone. It's like you take a piece of your heart and show it to them. And then they choose whether or not to smack it out of your hand or not. Right? You're just like out there. And if they smack it out of your hand, well, there's going to be no trust between me and that person, right? But if they take it and they understand it, then all of a sudden this bridge of trust is between you and someone else. This is why being vulnerable is important. In your small groups, when you open up and share something about yourself, when you're vulnerable and the people around you say, man, I hear you, or man, I understand, you're building trust. So if you're wondering why you're not connecting with anyone, maybe it's because you're not being vulnerable yourself. But vulnerability is a big deal when you're sharing your story. So you're going to be vulnerable, and then you're going to share with people that you see from day to day, the things that are going on in your life. Do we have the video? Is it going to work? Okay, I'll just keep going. You guys can try to focus on me and then fail. That'd be good. All right, so here's the deal. So, yep, get rid of it. Good. Mountains. So, I believe that God has a plan not only for you, but for everyone. And I believe that God, he not only has a plan for everyone, but that God uses people to reach people. So God's primary way of doing something on the earth is using people, okay? Yes, God appears to some people in dreams and says, come follow me, and that's a real thing. But 99% of the time, it's people reaching people. In fact, even if Jesus comes to you in your dreams or someone that he doesn't know him, they still have to go find people. So if God uses people to reach people, guys, we're just going to keep going. We're just going to keep going. Leave the video off. I don't have time anymore. You guys can watch the video later. Like you know what it is. It's okay. So listen. No, leave it. Leave it. Get it out of there. So listen. This is important. Because you have, no, the video's done. It's dead to me. If God uses people to reach people, and if God wants to see every person on the earth, like, their lives, like, have freedom and have transformation in their lives, then the only way that this happens, God's plan for the earth, God's way, the only way this happens is if he uses us to do it. So I believe that we have a responsibility to share our God stories with other people on a consistent basis. I don't think that sharing your story means going on the street corner and yelling at everyone that they need to turn or burn or something like that. Otherwise, I would do that if I thought that's what I should do. I'm clearly not doing that. But it does mean that you need to, like, you need to identify in your life how to share your God stories. After you've identified what it is, how do you share it? So I believe that God speaks to us today. And the best way I think that this happens is this way. I'll walk it through with you. The Holy Spirit is alive and well in your life and lives inside of you. And he will nudge you for different things at different times. For me, it's different for people. But for me, it's like I get a flash of an image in my head that, I mean, I have weird flashes of images in my head all day. But sometimes I can identify them like, man, this is God. Right? Sometimes I'm like walking down the street and like I'm in who knows, like I'm thinking about crazy things. But sometimes I'll get little flash or image in my head from God. And it could be something very, very small, but I think it's God nudging me. And what happens is this. You're at work and you're drinking water at the water cooler, or you're at lunch with a coworker. And they're talking to you, and then all of a sudden, you have like a little bit of a nudge from the Holy Spirit that you feel like, man, I should talk to him about that. It's like I've been, a lot of times it's like way more clear than a nudge. It's like, oh, I literally have gone through that, and I should share what I've done with this person right now. But we often don't, because we just, in general, our culture's not good at talking to each other. So it's nothing to like bad about you. It's just that we just don't do these types of things. But if you're in a conversation, you have a nudge, you need to like share something with that other person. For instance, if they explain to you that they're struggling with money, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my goodness, I struggle with money as well. And then they start sharing some more, and they share about their workflow and how they can't get their work done, and you're like, oh my goodness, I can't get my work done either. And all of a sudden, like, you see, like, God's leading you down a path with your relationship with this other person, and you have a moment to share something that God's done in your life. And that might be, it's not, again, this is not like you going, looks like you have a problem with money. When I was 4, I stole money. Let me tell you what I did when I was 5. Like, this is not that, okay? Please. If someone shares with you something, this is your opportunity to say, hey, God did something in my life. Hey, do you have a minute? Hey, do you have a minute? Let me just share with you something. Like, I've been, you know, I go to church, and I was struggling with finances too. But I'm going to tell you what, like, I prayed, and I, like, applied just a couple of principles, but I want to say, like, last year, I was in a way worse spot than I am right now. And it's just because of a couple things that, like, I was learning and, like, God helped me with. That's it. You just stop talking. It's awkward for a second. It's okay. You just stop talking. You say, hey, if you want to come to church with me, you're totally welcome. But if not, that's cool. But let me just tell you what. Like, I'm going to be praying for you. That's it. That's all you need to do. But I believe that, look, what if every person you come in contact with every day, there is something inside of you kind of wanting to be shared? What if it was very simple? So for me, a lot of times it's like in the morning, I feel like I need to text someone I haven't met in a while or haven't seen in a while. And it could be simply like, hey, I'm praying for you. Something like that. But all you're doing is you're starting to share what God's done in your life with other people. And this becomes like kind of overwhelming, like, to your life, because it becomes a rhythm of what you do and how you do it. If God's plan for the world is that people would know him, and if God uses his people to reach people, then we need to start sharing God's love with other people. So this happens day to day, week to week, like I'm sharing, like, about you're eating lunch with a coworker, things like this. But it also can be at times where it's like, hey, for the next 2 hours, I'm going to invite people to church and see what kind of conversations I'm going to have with people on the street. It might be like that. In fact, you're going to have some opportunities to do that. And, like, you have opportunities every month as street team to go out and just kind of, hey, I'm going to spend 1 hour or an hour and a half. I'm just going to spend some time. And what if I gave God an opportunity to use me? What if I was just going to do it, you know, and I wasn't afraid, or I wanted to do something else? So that's what we're talking about tonight. Over the next few weeks, we're going to unpack this a little bit more. But basically, tonight, very simple, a God story about your life. What has God done in your life? Can you identify a moment that God's done something in your life? It could be very spiritual. It could be not spiritual. Can you make a story out of that, a real story that God is the hero of? And then who can you share that with? Like, that's kind of where we're going. The coolest part about having a God story and having, like, this thing that God's done in our life and the things that we're sharing with other people is that the God story you have is actually, like, God's story. So you read the Bible and you read about Paul and you read these different things. It's like this God, the story God wrote to us, the story that God's, what God is doing in the world. You read about it. It's real. That continues with you. And every time that you open your mouth, now don't get me wrong, God will bless you and do things in your life and for you just because you're worth it. Because he likes you the way you are, and, like, it's good enough for that moment. God has done something for you. But what if you took that and you actually started to write it into God's story as well? What if you actually shared that? God doesn't do things in your life to share it. He does the things in your life for you. But what if you actually shared it and it became a part of God's big story? I think that if we all did that, it would be an amazing thing, right? So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to break up into small groups.